Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday. And Kathy, we have some very special guests who are citizens of Iceland and now live in Switzerland, which is a cool story that we'll share with Catherine and Gisli. And you said that you're living in Switzerland now, which we'll talk about that story, but you're back in Iceland. And you said you're doing something about an opera. What are you doing there? Are you directing it? What are you doing?
I'm conducting an opera. It's called Hansel and Gretel by Humperdinck, and it's a kids' opera, a children's opera. And I had done it before, and so the opera company asked me if I were available to do shows for 3 weekends in a row. And these 3 weekends in a row fitted perfectly into our 4-year-old's school vacation.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Is that done in Reykjavik?
Yeah, it's in Reykjavik.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, we're so happy that you could join us and you got such a wonderful story to share with us. But first of all, we'd love to hear how each of you came to know Christ in your life. So, Catherine, why don't you start? Tell us about your story of how you came to know Jesus in your life.
Well, my parents, they had become born again Christians before I was born. And so I was raised in that environment, but then they were at the time living in Switzerland, but they moved to Iceland when I was about 6 years old. And then that was a pretty rough change for me at that time. I started going to a children's church, and the Lord really met me. I had numerous dreams about being in heaven with Jesus. And I literally told people like Jesus was my best friend, and I even invited the guy who ran the children's church to my birthday party because I felt so he was so close to me. So that was a very kind of significant time of meeting Jesus as a child, and then it continued through my life, and of course ups and downs, but multiple times where really I encountered Jesus in very various moments of my life, and really, yeah, remarkable times.
Wow.
So that's kind of my story.
So did you then grew up living in Iceland, right?
Back and forth. And then we moved back to Switzerland. And then when I was 10, my parents actually decided to permanently move to Iceland.
Oh, wow.
We had also been in Hawaii in the meantime. So 10 to 19, I lived in Iceland. And then I went to study again in Switzerland and then in the States. And then I lived in Iceland.
Wow. What was the driver for the moves? Wow. What was the driver for the moves growing up? Was that job related or mission related?
Both job related, and my parents actually also during their time in Hawaii really learned to listen to God's voice, listen for peace, like major life decisions and things like that, which really changed their perspective. And so when they moved back to Iceland that second time, they actually had confirmations both separately. Like the Lord spoke to my dad to go away from his father's or ancestors' land, which he's Swiss. Mm-hmm. And my mom got a Bible verse, go back to your ancestors' land. And she is from Iceland. So that was kind of a very clear. So I grew up with a fairly kind of good, how do you say, environment to listen to God's voice and listen to his leading in our lives. And so I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Are you a dual citizen?
Yes.
Both? Yes. Yeah. Cool. Well, Gisli, tell us how you came to know Jesus.
Yeah. So I've been working with the traditional church in Iceland for many years, both in Iceland and I lived also in Norway, where I was conducting choir at every single service for the Icelandic church there. But I didn't really connect to the Lord until I met Catherine and later through her and her family, I started to get it. It's really interesting to be working always around the church and singing all this church songs and this traditional music, but never quite getting it, you know? But it's always like out of reach. But then I finally like figured it out and I got to know him. So, and after that, it's been quite a ride.
Wow. Beautiful. And did you wind up then growing up in Iceland?
Yeah, I grew up in the north, in Akureyri, and went to Reykjavik to study physics. And then I went back north and worked in geothermal company and found out I didn't want to work in physics. So I went to Sweden to study music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty hard left turn right there.
So I did that and did my master's in composition and conducting. And then I moved to Norway. And when I was living in Norway, we met.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. One question. When you take a degree in directing and composition, you know, of orchestra, do you have to learn what every instrument does and how they're supposed to operate? And
yeah, that's part of what you have to do.
Yeah,
but I'm not supposed to be able to play everything. I just have to know how they instrumentalists play.
Yeah. Which instruments do you like playing?
I like playing the guitar and the piano and of course singing. So those are my instruments.
So when you conduct, do you have the baton and all that? And
yeah. Yeah, and all that jazz. Yeah.
Everybody pays attention to you at the moment. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us then, how did you two meet and what led to engagement and marriage?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was living in Norway and I was coming to Iceland and I was in contact with a friend of mine. And it's really interesting because I just contacted them and said, hi, I'm going to Iceland next week. So are you available to meet? And they said, yeah, can you go to the Domkirkan, the cathedral on Saturday? We are actually getting married. Okay, yeah. And we actually met in that wedding.
At the wedding, yes. Yeah. So I had been playing and I was actually playing. I'm a cellist. So I was playing in the wedding and then I had to play in a second wedding, which was not an acquaintance, but just work. So I was playing in my friend's wedding and then I had to go to a second wedding, play in that wedding, and then get over to the reception
of
my friend's wedding. And so I was a little bit late. And
oh, you had to do this? You had to do this on the same day?
On the same day. And I had just flown from LA the previous day. So I had overslept. I had overslept and I had just woken up at the time when I was supposed to be already rehearsing with the, wedding. And so I was still doing my hair in the church and I was like, and so I ended up coming to the reception a bit late and I was trying to find seating and there was a group of us that knew each other, had studied together. And so we were kind of thinking about sitting together and it was kind of a free seating. And then there was this man who was kind of trying to intrude himself into our party. And I was a little bit annoyed. I was like, why are you here? What are you doing? Trying to kind of come into our seating here. And so the table was quite large, so you couldn't talk with everyone on the table at the same time. At the end of the party, the friend who was getting married, she said, oh, let me introduce to you. This is my friend Gisli. Who actually, we had done a project together, this friend and I, and we had asked a friend of hers that was living at the time in Oslo to do some arrangements for us. And that was Gisli, but we had never met.
Just
worked together and he had sent us and it went really well and we did a concert. It was really, it was great. So I felt so embarrassed that I had been we didn't really get the chance to talk. So we said, let's see if we have time to meet up and talk, because I was really interested in hearing and knowing more of his work and just sharing a little bit, like, because we had already worked together, but hadn't had the Chance yeah. Kavanagh. And so we met actually, I don't know, the following day or sometime for coffee. And we ended up talking for like, I think, 6 hours. And I remember thinking like, wow, this was a long coffee. And I am just wired that way. I am genuinely, I mean, I'm interested in people, but I'm not that interested. Someone to take my attention for that long, I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And so it ended up us meeting again and again, and he was helping me out. He was really good with computer stuff, and he insisted on helping me. I was doing a project, and we were putting up some music on the website, and then it didn't work. So he said, well, I can maybe find a solution. And so we ended up spending a lot of time together, and then I was off to Italy with my parents, and we just said bye and nothing more. No. And then I was kind of out of reach. And then after the trip, I came home and he had contacted me or something. I was having a concert in Hólar, which is like one of the bishop's places in Iceland.
Yeah. No, two places.
And so he said, oh, well, that's kind of close. Well, not very close, 1.5 hour drive from where my parents live. So I'll come and help you. I can record the concert.
But our friend was also playing.
And me and this common friend were playing the concert. So we met up there again. Then I was like, well, if he's coming all this way to help me record, there must be something a little bit more to this than that. So we started dating.
So Gisli, was there something more at that point, right?
Yeah, it was definitely more.
It's been wonderful. But then he was living, of course, in
Norway,
and I was living in Iceland, and I told him I'm not coming to Norway.
Yeah, but it was really interesting. It just somehow went well. I mean, I felt I should move to Iceland, and I did, but I didn't have any job. Except I had one commission to compose a piece for a piano and a horn player. And I knew I had money until end of March. And I was like, okay, so. And that was actually, then I had already met Christ. And I knew if he was telling me to go, I should just go. So I went to Dalton.
How long had y'all been dating at that point?
Yes.
Yeah. How long? Half a year.
Yeah.
Five,
6 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
In end of February, I got a message from a guy I didn't know. And he was like, are you living in Iceland now? And I was like, yeah. Do you need a job?
And yeah.
I need a job. And he got me a job until end of May. So I had money until the rest of the summer. I felt like, okay, I need to get some job in before the summer ends. And then again, some other guy called me and like, do you need a job?
I love it.
I was like, yeah, I need a job. I'm still doing that job. So, yeah.
God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
What attracted you to the other person? What were the couple of the characteristics that, you know, as you started to spend time together that you were really attracted and ultimately decided to get married? What was it about each other that attracted you?
Well, for me, it was, like I said before, well, I could talk to this guy. There's something there.
Yeah.
So that was, at least for me, a huge, huge part. And then just, he's smart. He's very smart. So I was like, finally, I have someone that I can really talk to about things. And then I was also intrigued about like his musical approach. So that was also something that I felt like, wow, this is really, and he was involved in some projects that I really was inspired by. So that was also, but then at one point when we had started dating, I told him I was not going to date him anymore. I told him that there were three things and these were the reasons. And the way he handled it, it was so gracious and with such respect. And for me, it outdid me. So I ended up saying, okay, let's go. Let's find out. And he said, well, let me learn. He said, we learn. And I said,
that's beautiful.
Wow. Okay. Let's do this. A couple of more when I felt like, oh, this is not for me. Why should I be dating this guy? Da, 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 da. And yeah. I always, when I prayed, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, well, give him a chance. Give him a chance. So then I was like, okay.
I'm very thankful for those.
and he always seemed to have like an open approach and options of solutions and ready to talk about things, ready to kind of interact in ways and finding solutions. And of course, in these dating months, finding out like how to communicate and all of that, I felt like I always felt like we were able to really communicate well and talk things through and find a solution.
That's
and
amazing.
That was really, really important for me. So I think that was probably one of the biggest.
And that can be a very rare trait in a relationship, especially early on. That's beautiful.
We do a lot of, counseling to couples that are considering, getting together. What you described is what we really talk about is that you got to identify important things, and then it's really about the heart of the person. Do they have a heart to learn to walk together? And they don't have to be where you are at the moment, but they just have to have a heart to go. So it sounds like that's kind of what happened with you. And you saw it, and God said, yeah, you'll do fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Gisley? What attracted you to Catherine? He knows how to answer this.
No, she is amazing. I mean, she's so clever and direct and organized and can see very clearly through how to do stuff. And then she's just ready to do stuff. And that's so refreshing.
Yeah.
It's like, and I just felt from the beginning like we could really connect well and we were a good team.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can sense that beauty. Mm-hmm. So how long did you date them before you actually got married?
2 years.
2 years got married. And how many years have you been married now?
Six years.
Yeah.
Six and a half.
It's good that you have the same answer.
And you have one daughter, is that right? One daughter who's 4 years old?
We have two children. One daughter, 4 years old, and one little guy who is almost two.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And you said the four-year-old's in school. Would that be considered like a preschool type thing that they go to?
Yeah. In Switzerland, they have a
obligatory preschool from four-year-olds.
How did the move to Switzerland go for her? How's she doing? Okay.
She did really good. Yeah.
She's doing really extraordinary well. Mm-hmm. And we even feel like she's doing even better there than she was doing here in Iceland.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Oh, that's great. So back up for a second. Did you say obligatory preschool? That's fascinating. So school is required starting at age four?
And their motto is to learn by play.
Mm-hmm.
So everything they do, they learn through playing. And of course, they learn how to be in a group. And
how to play together.
How to play. Mm-hmm. And we can see a lot of improvement in her playing.
Yeah.
That's great. Does she have to speak German then? Swiss German?
Yes.
Yeah. And she has such a dialect now. It's really fun.
Great.
So does she speak Icelandic and English and German? Already?
Not English, just Icelandic and German.
Okay. And if she goes to school, they'll teach her English as well, right?
Yeah, and French.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So you're having a good time, and I know that you moved to Iceland this year. We want to talk about that. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing just the story. We can see it, by the way. Kathy and I can see it, is that you have joy together. We pray that that'll continue throughout your life as you walk with God, because that's his intention, is for you to have joy. We can see you have it. And we know, and we can guess that you don't have a boring life.
Oh, no.
Quite the adventure. Yeah. Which we want to get into in our next session of tell us the story of how you wound up in Switzerland and some of the beautiful ways of walking with God and hearing his voice. And just like you said, Gisley, he gave you provision all the way, and it's such a beautiful thing. So Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Catherine and Gisley and their story of just how they came together, you giving them the opportunity to live life together with their children and to have joy. We can sense still the play in them and with their kids. May we all have that same sense of joy with you, of life is meant to be joyful and to play and to learn. And we process that and praise that for that now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, guys. It has been a pleasure already just to begin hearing your story. And you can see, like Rita, just such a beautiful anointing on both of your lives.
Yes.
So I'm excited to hear the rest of the story next time. Listeners, if you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.